I'm glad to be here this morning. I hope you're glad to be here this morning. God has something
excited
to show you. So I hope you came into the building expecting, opening up your heart to know that the Holy Spirit wants to show you something about your life, help you.
Yes.
It's just like what Pastor Stevie was saying as we closed out worship. Make those crooked places straight in our life. And
come on.
God's really good at that. And so we're excited to be in the book of Ephesians. If you ask me, well, name me one New Testament book that could help me understand the core doctrine of the Christian faith.
Right.
I would have to say, if you want a shorter book, I mean, many of them do. Romans does, and other books in the New Testament. But the book of Ephesians, six chapters, gives us a really great look at the core doctrines of our Christian faith, and really what it means to live them out too. It tells the doctrine, and it talks about a lifestyle. And it's only six chapters long. It talks about, we looked at last week, the first chapter, the death and burial and resurrection of Christ, and what that means for us, what he did for us, why he did it, and what it means for us today, that we do have a glorious inheritance.
Amen.
That we receive from Christ. And all of it is an unearned gift. That's something that I think it takes a while for us to really grasp that what Christ has done for us all by his grace, something that is completely undeserved. And so reading Ephesians is going to help you understand God's plan for your life and how he rescued you in particular. I mean, we say us, but it does have to become personal. He rescued you from your sin. And in doing that, he gave you a new identity.
Amen.
He gave you a new calling in life. He gave you a new belonging. You belong to the body of Christ. And with that, there's new purpose, newfound purpose that is specifically designed by God. So in Christ, we mentioned this last week. And just by the way, if you aren't in church, you miss a message, you can always go either on iTunes or just on our website. It's all for free. Just you could get the podcast and listen to a message. Because very often we're building upon what we shared last week, and sometimes we feel like
right.
we need to bring those thoughts back in, but we just have to keep progressing. Otherwise, the message gets too long, right?
But, no, you know, that's impossible.
But we've become new creations in Christ. We talked about that last week, that the old life has gone and a new life has begun if you've given your life to Christ, and all things are from God now. And so Ephesians explains how Jesus Christ has been made the center of all the universe. He is the sustainer of his body, the church, of which we each are members in particular. And as members of the body of Christ, we've been given divine privileges and we've been given divine responsibilities too. We become representatives for Christ in the earth. We're his hands and feet. We are here to show forth his glory. That's really one of our main purposes.
Amen.
In our life is to understand my life is not my own. I'm here to do his will, and I'm here to show forth his glory. And so chapters 4 to 6 then begin to help us understand what the lifestyle of faith looks like, what this looks like in real life. How do we walk out who we are in Christ as a new creation in our church, in our home, in our marriages, at work, in the world? And truly, you know, the more you meditate and you read Scripture and you're reading Ephesians, you realize that as the son and daughter of God, you and I have been given a very high calling in life.
Amen.
A very high calling in life. And God's desire, you know, is that what we know about ourselves in Christ, what we understand about our doctrine, that it translates into a lifestyle of just obeying him and following him and his will for our lives. So his intention is for us to be salt and light in this earth.
Yes.
And it's a dark world. The world needs some salt. It needs some preserving.
Amen.
Because it does seem like it's decaying all around us. And it needs, you know, salt adds some flavor. Salt adds some interest to your food. And so being salt adds, people can be drawn to an interest of who you are in Christ. Why do you live differently? Why do you think the way you think? Mm-hmm. Because it is countercultural to the world. And so we are to be salt and light in the world. I'm hoping you know, as we talk about Ephesians, that you're reading it. Well, I would encourage you to read it. How many of you opened it up? All right. Yeah, I see that one hand. Anybody else?
Oh.
Did I miss a hand? I see another hand.
Open your Bibles. We'll just read it now.
You know. Make a decision to read through all six chapters as we go through this.
Over and over and over.
Because it's going to just enhance what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you and show you.
True.
And then when you come on Sunday morning, these things start to sink in. It takes a while for our minds to get renewed to the truth. And, you know, if you're serious about your relationship with Jesus and you want to live this life out, you want to bring him glory, and you want to experience the freedom. We talk about the freedom that we have been given in Christ. Then we're going to have to develop some new habits.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to read the Word of God or listen to it or somehow put this Word in us.
Come
you're
on.
Right, on the inside of our mind and heart and develop new thinking habits.
Yes.
We have to start thinking different thoughts. Your thought life, we said this last week, it's so important to repeat it. Your thought life is really framing your world, how you think, your most predominant thoughts that you think all day long, the atmosphere in your mind is taking you somewhere. And you could be born again, you could be born of God's Spirit, and never renew your mind, and you're going to walk out the same old life. You're going to walk out that same, you're going to have the same old results in your life. And so we have to develop new thinking habits. We have to think his thoughts. We
yes.
have to think of higher thoughts. We have to begin to declare God's will over my life. I have to make an intentional, conscious choice to do that.
Yes, you do.
I mean, this past week, I jumped into the car, you know, in the evening, thought, oh, I had to go run out and get some groceries, and it had just been one of those days where it just seemed like all day long my thoughts were just veering to the negative, you know, the what if, and the problem here, and lack over here, and shortage over here, and as I drove away, you know, I'm pulling out of my street parking spot, and it's dark out, and you're driving down the street, put my hands on the steering wheel, and I found myself making some declarations. It just started coming out of my mouth. Oh, God, I thank you for how good you are to
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
I thank you, Father. I trust your leadership for my life. You're a good leader over my life. You know, no good thing do you withhold from those who walk uprightly. I thank you, you made me the righteousness of God in
yes.
Christ Jesus. I thank you, God, that you supply all my needs according to Christ's riches and glory. And I'm going and going. By the time I made my turn, I'm going up North Main Street, I thought, you know, that's what I needed to do. It was like there were, that took a long time, though, in my life to get to the point where you just sort of go into soldier mode, if you
yeah.
will. It was like, all right, helmet of salvation, you know, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit, speak.
Amen. Yep.
It's like you need to fight this battle, not just let this stuff go around and around and around in your mind all day long, because it changed the atmosphere. It shifted. I just felt like, you know what? God is on the throne.
Amen.
He loves me. He's for me. He's going to come through for me in my life. But I know that would not have happened if I would have just stayed silent, a silent mental battle. Go to the grocery store. You know, you're doing everything. You come home, and you're still in that same negative mood. And so I would say to you
you
have to take the Word of God, plant it, and declare it. We gave you some of those confessions last week on the message notes. I hope you don't just throw those things away. You know, they're there for your benefit. They're there like little seeds of faith. Take
yes.
them. Make those confessions. If you were not here last week and you go, what are you talking about? You can go online and print that little outline out. And make those confessions because they are going to help your mind jump the track. You know, sometimes these negative thought patterns are like a rut in your mind. You just keep going around the same rut. But as you make these faith declarations over you're declaring the will of God. It's like it helps you to get into a new
yes,
rut.
Yes.
And pretty soon you're going in a new direction. You're saying new
Come
things
on.
And it's guiding you in a different way. And
that's
so
really good preaching, by the way, guys.
So anyways, I confidently declare those over your life. I don't care how you feel. I didn't feel like saying them, but I thank God for the Holy Spirit on the inside that just prompted me,
yes.
and it started to yes. just flow out like a little river of living water. And
Come
so
on.
There you go. So
yeah.
take those confessions and say them.
It's really important. We looked at Ephesians chapter 1, and there's a great prayer in Ephesians chapter 1 that you should be praying over yourself. You should be praying this over your loved ones also. And it starts off in verse 17, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, and it ends in verse 23. There's also another great prayer that you should be praying over yourself found in the third chapter. But in part, this prayer that is Paul delivers by the Spirit of God for you and for me, and it says this in part, I pray that my eyes would be opened so that I can know and understand. That's important. You could know something but not understand it. How many can quote Albert Einstein's The Theory of Relativity? E equals mc squared. Well, I know that. Don't have a clue what it means. But here's what God is asking you to pray for yourself and for your loved ones. Is pray that your eyes would be open so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of His power in and for us who believe.
Yeah.
Anybody want that to happen in their life?
Yeah.
Pastor Mamie just told us how it happens. When you're having a bad day, when you're feeling miserable, when you're feeling like the earth's caving in on you, that's when you have to go into, I love how you say, warrior mode. Get into warrior mode. Yeah. Get into
the helmet. Yeah. I was like, put your armor on.
Come on. It's true. And what we see in chapter 2, what we see is this actually playing out, this prayer being played out. And so it's important. When we look, because this is what we're going to do, we're going to take a look at chapter 2, and you want to turn there in your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 2. Well, I want you, Pastor Mamie and I want you, because we pray this prayer for you. We pray this prayer for you. And we want you to actually own what the Bible says. Own it. Not just think, oh, that's nice, you know, the nice, immeasurable, unlimited, surpassing greatness of the power. And you know, okay, that's good. But do you see how those last couple words end? For those who believe. We've said this over and over again. The will of God doesn't just happen. You've got to fight and contend for it. The Bible declares the violent kingdom of heaven suffers violent, and the violent people take it by force. You want the kingdom of reality, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of truth to manifest in your life. Pastor Mamie just told you how it happens. It just told you how it happens. So we want you to understand that these words that we're going to read should trump every circumstances in your life, every situation. This is where we're going to find out what we used to be, who we are, and we're going to find out our place in the kingdom. Once again, if you're born again, these words should supersede anything that else is going on in your life, no matter what your circumstances are. And again, I think what Pastor Mamie said is very important. If you followed us last week, then you're going to have on that outline some confessions. And those are new creation thoughts. We looked at that scripture found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Bible says that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away, all things become new. The Bible declares that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Those are new creation thoughts. And so you have to train your mind, just like what Pastor Mamie says, get out of that old rut, put a new rut in there, which is the Word of God. And it will take you in a new direction in your life. And if you just followed through and started confessing these things that were on that outline, you're going to, I'll tell you right, if you did it, you felt a difference in your life.
Yeah.
It's not out of the ordinary or just happens to pastors when you're quoting this, the Word of God, that, like she said, she's going up the hill to Aldi's and she's confessing these things. And when she's coming down the hill, it's like, well, the kingdom has just manifest in my life. And we want the kingdom to manifest in your life. And when you do that, you establish the kingdom of God in your life. And it's all up to you. So let's take a look. We're going to read the first 10 verses of Ephesians chapter 2, and then we're going to break it apart. This is just awesome. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the age of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Among them we all also once lived in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest.
Okay, verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And he raised us up and seated us together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, so that no one should boast. Mm. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them.
Anybody just want to dance?
Yeah.
Hello! I mean, God wants you to be a part of this. This is why he sent his son, so that you and I could be a part of this. You know, these first 10 verses are just incredible. This is the doctrine of salvation here. It's the bedrock of truth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the bedrock of truth. And we built upon this. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. We build upon it. This is where we find out the why we needed to be saved.
Yeah.
And the how of God did it.
Yeah.
Again, every believer, everybody who calls themselves a Christian should actually understand the full meaning of the grace. And these first 10 verses really explain it.
Yeah.
And the first 3 verses of this describe our spiritual state before we came to Christ.
Yeah.
Before we came to Christ. And really, those 3 verses really dispels 3, well, how would you say it? Ingrained myths that our culture has about evil. Okay? Look at the first myth is this. The main problem with the world.
Hold on a second. Yeah, here we go. Now we got it.
Yeah, there you go. The first myth that our culture believes about evil is the main problem is other people. The second myth that our culture believes is that we're really not bad people.
Deep down, yeah.
Deep down, we're not bad.
Not that bad.
You know, the culture says we're basically good people, but, you know, we're weak and we make mistakes. I'm not a bad person because I made a mistake. One psychologist says this, deep down, we're basically good, and we have lost touch with our inner goodness.
We've really lost touch, obviously.
Ever since the garden.
Yeah. Carl Rogers.
Ever since the garden.
Yep.
But you take a look at Scripture. The Scripture in the first sentence of Ephesians chapter 1 blows these myths out of the water, really. Take a look at it one more time. It says, what? You were dead in your trespasses and sins.
Yeah.
Notice the word you. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Not other people. You. We can all say, oh, there's really bad people out there. You know, there are bad people out there. But that's the main problem. They're out there. But the Bible cuts through and he says that you're the problem. I'm the problem. Real simple. And this is on our outline here. Take a look at it. There's only one category of people that are born into the earth. Sinners. Which produces the disease of sin And the only cure for sin is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We've all inherited a sin nature that was given to us, lodged within Adam and Eve when they sinned and they rebelled against God in the garden. Every person who's walked this earth, except one, Jesus Christ, has this sin nature lodged in us. And when Adam and Eve obeyed Satan, disobeyed God, there's only two choices, folks. Is you obey God or you obey Satan. We've said that before. It's really that clear, guys. It really is. When we obeyed Satan, when Adam and Eve obeyed Satan, we died spiritually instantly. Yeah. Instantly.
Yeah.
And we took on the nature of Satan. That's a harsh reality, but this is what the Bible is declaring. Sin spiritually murdered all of us.
Yeah.
And that makes us dead.
Dead, yeah. And that's really the second word of how it challenges us on how we think about ourselves. Like dead. You're still physically alive, but dead. You are dead in trespasses and sins. I mean, again, most people tend to prefer to think of sin as just some bad actions that I do, stealing, adultery, lying, injustice.
Mm-hmm.
But this is on our outline. The word dead shows us it's not an action. It's a condition of the heart, dead in our heart. So it's not, so much that we do bad things and that's what makes us bad, but we do bad things because we're born bad. We're born with a fallen nature.
Correct.
That's just prone to wander, prone to sin. People sin because they have a sin nature. And, verse 1 uses the word dead as a condition of the heart because, it's the root is, like you said, in the Garden of Eden, which was where the rebellion against God occurred. And that's when Adam and Eve fell. And so verse 3 gives us this picture of what the condition of the heart is like. Verse 3, it says, we lived in the lusts of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. And so we lived just according to our flesh. If we wanted to cuss, we cussed. If we wanted to lie, we lied. If we wanted to have our body want to have sex, we just have sex, right? We want to live a life of luxury and be stingy in order for myself to have what I want. So what? If I go into debt to get it, so what?
Mm.
Right? It doesn't matter who I hurt. We don't, this sin nature doesn't want to be ruled by anything or anyone. Don't tell me what to do.
Come on.
Right? I heard somebody say recently that a simple way to teach your kids about what is sin, just spell it for them, S-I-N, but emphasize the I in the middle of the word, I.
Yep.
It's the big I problem. I want to be in control. I want it my way. I want to call the shots. I want my desires more than what God desires. I want my glory, which is more important than his glory.
Come on.
That is the big I. And those attitudes really came from
there.
The one who originally, Lucifer, who said, I will exalt my throne above the throne of God.
That's
so it's really
exactly
about who's fighting for whose glory here.
That's so true. Listen, none of us in this room are strangers to the flesh. We all know this. We all know this. We do. These attitudes really are from Satan.
Yeah.
And we continue in these attitudes. Guess what? The Bible declares that we were be under the wrath of God. Under the wrath of God. There's a false teaching out there that says that all the wrath of God is gone. It all fell on Jesus, so there is no more wrath of God. Well, if you read the book of Revelation, I think wrath is mentioned 17 to 20 times. If there was no wrath of God, why would that be in there? You know, that was our nature. That was us before we came to Christ. We were headed for hell. No way to change it. We were condemned to hell. That's what we deserved. And then there's the next verse. It's just like, glorious, amen? Because those two words are pretty cool. Those two words, the next two words are, but God.
Hallelujah.
But God, yes, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Now look at this verse 5. Even when we were dead in sin, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And he raised us up and seated us together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Because of Adam and Eve, because of that rebellion against God and the willingness to obey Satan, this sin nature was lodged in every human being. It's inherited from Adam, and we had no way to remove it. Look at verse 5 again. What does it say? Even when we were at our worst, you know, God didn't change his original intent. His original intent was to have a family to love and to be loved back by that family.
Yeah.
Just because we failed, God didn't change what he said. You know, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah.
And God wanted this family. And it wasn't until we recognized our spiritual condition. It goes back to that same thing. I pray the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened. If we recognize our spiritual condition, guess what? We're going to do exactly what the prodigal son did. He's going to recognize where he is. And he's going to say, I sinned against heaven. I sinned against my Father. Do you know, people like to preach that, but overlook the repentance part? Do you know in that story, he repented twice. Once in the pig pen and then once to the Father. And it's overlooked by many preachers. Repentance is a gift from God. People think they can repent anytime they want. Remember how Judas repented? He repented with tears but couldn't find it. You know, there's a door that God opens for us to repent and change. And you don't know when that door or window closes. But when we recognized our spiritual condition and we cried out to God, when we say, Jesus, help me, save me, instantly, the greatest miracle that could ever happen happened in an instant. He did the impossible. He changed you. He changed me from a child of the devil to a child of God. You know, where we had nothing but death and a graveyard, he brought life and turned us into a ever-growing garden. This is the Spirit of God. And notice when he did this. He did this when? Even when we were dead in sin, he saved us. You know, this is the definition of God's grace. Unmerited favor. Unmerited favor.
Yeah.
Do you think you could worship him when we start to worship because of that? Do you think you could shout out?
Yeah.
You think you could dance in the aisles because of where you are, say?
Yeah.
Or do you just stand there?
Yeah. That's a good point.
Because
just thinking about that, that's right.
Come on.
You raise your hands and go, oh, God.
Yeah.
Thank God I'm not headed for hell.
Yeah. You could get on your face. Yeah. You say, Lord God, you know, when you see the person next to you crying and their makeup all running around down their face and everything, you can have an attitude. You could catch an attitude. I can't believe them. Well, you know what? You don't know what God did to that person. And I think if we recognize our spiritual condition, we'd be doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You'd be screaming and shouting.
Right. Because
we wouldn't be quiet about this.
Yeah.
Look at what it says in verse 8. Look at verse 8 and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works that anyone should boast. It's God's grace that does the miracle. And again, I'll say it again. It's the greatest miracle that can ever happen on this planet.
Right.
It's not in your own strength. Listen carefully. It's not in your own goodness. It's not in your own kindness. It's not in your own compassion. Because your own kindness, your own compassion, your own goodness can never, ever change your spiritual condition. It's a spiritual condition that has to be changed, not outward things. And you and I don't even know where that can start except through Jesus Christ.
And believing, because when you are born again, when you simply by faith, it says we're saved by grace through our faith.
Yes.
Just reaching out by faith to believe the story of the gospel. You are translated, Scripture says, out of the domain of darkness into the kingdom of light.
Sweet.
Like something glorious happens right then in the spirit realm and on the inside of you. You're baptized into the body of Christ. You become a member of the body of
Christ. Yes, hallelujah.
You know, you belong to the family of God. God has sealed you, stamped you with the Holy Spirit. It's like you have a divine purpose from me now in life. And it's to bring God glory into the earth, to make him known. Look at verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship. You didn't do this. I didn't do it to myself. He designed you. He has plans for you. Created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand so that what? We should walk in them.
Yeah, come on.
He's going to give us the grace, his favor. His grace is his power to walk it out. I don't care how you feel about it. Mm-hmm. If we trust in the truth of Scripture, there will be a grace that will come to help you walk out your purpose in this life.
Amen.
I mean, now, once we sin, you know, because of our fallen nature, but now that we've been made the righteousness of God, we do works of righteousness for him. You're special to God.
Amen.
You know, and with your new nature comes new desires.
Yes. So
they're coming from the Spirit of God, a desire to love and obey God. It doesn't mean you're going to do it all perfectly.
Hello.
None of us have walked this thing out perfectly.
Hello.
We all are going to still fall into sin as we walk this out. But 1 John 1:9 says, again, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all righteousness. But when we do sin, because he's planting his desires in us, there should be a conviction on the inside of us that, I'm grieving the Holy Spirit on the inside of me.
Correct.
I'm missing it somewhere here. And because there's a new nature on the inside. If we're going to live for his glory, there's going to be something with him going, I'm messing up here. This is not what I should be doing.
Right.
And you have to ask yourself, have my desires changed since I've given my life to Christ? Do I have different desires? You know, if you say not really, still act the same, talk the same, live the same, then you have to ask yourself, am I really born of God's Spirit? Because it must translate into a lifestyle life.
That's
we are
right.
not saved by our good works, but this is on our outline. Saving faith always produces good works. It always does.
Can I hear an amen?
Yeah. I mean, our faith is proved out by our works, and God gives us the grace and the desire to do it, to obey. And
you
so we better.
If we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, he's going to warn us. He's going to give us a check in your spirit before, everybody say before. You sin.
Yeah.
Before you sin.
Pretty much, yeah.
His whole idea is to keep you on a good path.
Yeah.
Because you are his body.
Right.
You are his body, the body of Christ. He never leads you into sin.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to briefly go over 11 through 22 in Ephesians chapter 2. And the Apostle Paul here is explaining that through Jesus, the Gentiles are brought near to God. Now, Gentiles are outsiders. Okay? Yeah. Now, the Bible, you got your Bible right here. It's divided, isn't it? Old Testament, New Testament. In the Old Testament, there was a separation between God's people and everybody else. And now, let me describe who's the outsider. Anybody who didn't have Jewish descent. It's me too.
Yeah.
It's all of us.
Everybody outside everybody. Of being Jewish.
Everybody.
Everyone was a Gentile.
We were all called by the Jewish people dogs. Yeah. We were dogs. Yeah.
Oh.
We had no covenant with God. If we, as an outsider, wanted to know anything about the true and living God, we would have to go to an insider. And that insider, the Jewish people, would have to explain it. Because God is the one who favored the Jews. His favor rests on them. Them. Okay? All the nations were outside of that favor. God revealed his character and who he was to them. Not to outsiders. He revealed his goodness to them, not to outsiders. But thanks be to God. It's why we praise him is right, because now it says here that through Jesus Christ,
verse 12,
at the time we were out without Christ. That means you and I were aliens rather than citizens of Israel. You were strangers to the covenants and promises of God. We are in this world without hope.
Yeah.
We are in this world without hope.
And without God, you do have no hope. But, you know, growing up in America, this idea of being excluded from God's covenant of promise is kind of foreign to us, because we've always had a sense that the gospel is for us, have we not? We've grown up with it. I mean, we see churches everywhere. We've always been welcomed to go into a church.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it wasn't always so. I mean, this was quite a big deal, really, for the Jew. Back when this first occurred, it was shocking to their mind and very difficult to accept.
They had to renew
their
mind.
What do you mean those outside of our group are accepted in? I mean, they aren't like us. This was difficult for them to accept. I mean, there was such a division. The Jewish people wouldn't, you know, even go into the house of a Gentile.
Right.
They would never eat with them, certainly never marry a Gentile.
Right.
And in the early church, there were a lot of arguments and conflicts and debates over this. I mean, just read Romans, read Galatians, and
read
the book
of
Acts. Yeah, just debating about, you know, there had to be a lot of renewing of the mind, because there was this argument, should the gospel really be even spoken and offered to the Gentiles, those outside of our group, should we speak to them? And just like people today, I mean, just dealing really with the same hatred, suspicious feelings that are triggered by our ethnic differences, our racial differences, who's better, who's worse, who's called, who can you trust? They dealt with it, and we're still dealing with it.
Yeah. Come on, it's
but
so
I mean,
true.
Look at verse 14.
This is really good.
This is
Christ
the awesome
is
part.
Our peace. He made both Jews and Gentiles one group. Think about that, one group. And this is why they had to renew their mind so much, because it was their entire culture was separation. But Christ is our peace. It says he broke down the barrier of hatred and divided us.
With his body he did it.
He broke down. Now, that's how are we going to apply this scripture? We're not Jews. However, we just mentioned it. There's one group of people who think they're better than another group of people. We have white and black. There's issues there. Wrongs on both sides. But this is what, who are we? Are we a color?
No.
We're not a color.
Right.
We are the body of Christ. And by the way, you know what? He's Jews, so he's not Jewish. White or black.
And look what it says in verse 18.
There, this is so good.
We both have access to the Father through Christ by one Spirit.
Hallelujah.
So now you are no longer strangers and aliens.
Sweet.
Rather, you are fellow citizens with God's people, and you belong to God's household. I mean, he's speaking to the Gentiles here, saying you do belong in God's household. And Christ is building you into a place where God lives through the Spirit. So now we're all one.
It is.
No matter our racial background, our ethnic background, in our differences in how we've seen things, this is why understanding the book is so important.
Yes.
Because we can unify, our hearts will unify as we read his word. We become one in Christ and one in unity with one another. There's a respect for the body of Christ, no matter the color, no matter the background, no matter the race. It's like we are all valued because we're one in Christ.
It's weird. Understand. Here's what messes people up. We get the personality. You know, you rub me the wrong way. So now you have an attitude toward that person. No, here they come. Oh, no. Here's what God says. God says he doesn't look or judge like a man judges. He looks on the heart. So what? How can this apply to us? Here's how it applies to us, real easy. You know, God has a gift in there. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, there's a great inheritance in the saints. So I'm going to look at the gifting God has put in him, because the gifting that's in him helps me. The gifting in you helps me. But if I shut that gift off, who really gets hurt? You do. You do. We're going to walk in love. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible declares the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. And I don't care how you were brought up. You know it's wrong to think somebody's less than you are. The Bible says, you know, esteem them more highly than you. We're going to walk with God, amen?
Jesus, you know, I think, let's just think about this for a moment, too, how he identified with us. Talk about humbling yourself and walking with a group of people that did not deserve it. No matter the color, no matter the race, he'd look around and go, you all are in the same sinking boat.
That's it.
And he came to rescue us.
Amen.
And so we thank you, Jesus. We just lift up our mind, our heart to you, Lord. We worship you. You know, I think about this song. We say, you know, that you took ashes.
Yes.
Lord. And brought something beautiful out of our lives, every single one of our lives. We just thank you, Father, for doing it. I thank you for unifying us as a church, Lord. I thank you for helping us to see we each have gifts to be used, Lord, in unity to do your kingdom, to bring you glory, Lord. Lord, the littlest thing that we do in obedience to you brings you glory. It doesn't have to be something big on a stage and something that everybody's noticing. It could be the smallest little act of obedience that we do in submission and glory to you. I thank you, Father, that you see it. I thank you, Father. I mentioned rewards again, Lord, that there's a day coming that we'll stand before you and receive. We'll throw our crown back at you.
Amen.
And say, Lord, we did it all by your grace. It wasn't even in our own strength we were able to do it, Lord. It's all because you gave us the strength by your Spirit to do it. We worship you, Lord. Would you want to sing?
We give you an opportunity right here.
Okay, we'll just.
We give you an opportunity right here to make Jesus the Lord of your life. You saw that everybody's born a sinner. Your goodness isn't going to get you into heaven. You can't earn heaven. I don't care what you do. God is perfect. And you and I are not. But he's sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be your Savior, to dislodge that sin nature out of you, to put a spiritual nature that is the very DNA of God. If you're here today and you have not made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you're ready to do that, break the chains. Only He can do it. You can't do it on your own. Today's the day. Right now, today's the day. Just lift your hand up right now and say, I'm ready to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I'm tired of living how I used to live. I'm tired of being a sinner. It pays the wage of death. Today is the day. Anyone here? I see that hand. Let's just, everybody. Well, I want everybody to come in their own heart and just look at yourself and ask God to forgive you of these things. Pastor Mamie quoted John, 1 John 1:9. He's faithful and just to forgive you of all of your unrighteousness. All of it.
Sin.
But it's got to be genuine and not just sad you got caught. Father God, I ask that you pour your Spirit upon everyone here today. Increase our capacity to receive from you. And we give you glory in this place because you love us. And we love you back.
Let's just sing that chorus as we close out.
Say it, man.
Let's sing the chorus as we close out. You know, we're free, free. Let's just all stand up before we close. And
oh, your grace so free. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your endless love. It's your endless love.